Well, hey there. Welcome to this week's exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is
September 18th. Oh, a lot of 18s there.
That's right. Yeah, we had a city council meeting last night.
First since one. July 30th, although there's been a number of committee hearings and ordinance meetings.
And as we were talking about some last week, last week was like a really busy week. It's sort of like all the summer recess all sort of gloms on to one week of lots and lots of public meetings. I don't know about how many you made it to. But
Wednesday was a record. I went to a recycling meeting, which was, and then I watched the electric mobility one, transportation.
The scooters?
That was televised, which was very helpful. And then I went over to the strategy, retail strategy one,
where I met you,
and then we walked over to Envision Cambridge.
Right.
So there weren't totally city ones, but all three of them. Well, I guess they all are.
Yeah, so I guess I did like three
but
as well.
But you also, in the last month or so, you went to the residential parking one, which I did not go to.
Yeah. And so it was pretty busy. And actually,
the flat roof one. Did you go to that?
I did not go to it, but I'm interested in it.
Right.
So anyway, and that's still under discussion, but we'll talk
about
that a little
petition.
Bit. About. That's a zoning petition.
Okay.
But you know, it was pretty jazzy last Wednesday with the scooters, the retail strategies, the vacant storefronts, Envision Cambridge.
Yeah.
The one thing I couldn't make it to there was also a simultaneous meeting about the Inman Square reconfiguration.
Oh, right, which came up last night.
Which was that neighborhood long-term planning?
Right across the street at 6:30. Right.
Right.
That sounded interesting. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed that
so
one.
So we have to perfect the art of cloning. I need to have like three of me some of these.
Well, I know the one that Jan led is televised. It's on video.
That was the electric scooters?
Yeah, and it was very helpful because they did. What I didn't know, do you know there's like 12 scooter companies in the country? Can you even name them? They all have one syllables.
Lime.
Bird, Lime, Spin, Lift, Jump, Scoot, Skip, Hopra, Ofo, I've heard of that one, Razor, Ride Cell, Us Scooters, and then Uber's getting in on it, right?
Yeah, that's one I think I do find kind of interesting, how Lyft and Uber, which are, we think of as like car.
They're going to be driverless cars. They're going to be driving cars, and they're going to be electric scooters and maybe bikes? I don't know.
Well, they're trying to...
Lime. Isn't Lime also bikes?
I think Lime may be very well...
I get confused between Lime and Ant bikes, because Ant bikes are Lime-colored.
That's right. Actually, one thing that's very interesting is just to sort of show you the aggressiveness of some of these companies.
Yeah.
I saw something interesting on the way... I think it was on the way back on last Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Tuesday. Past week.
Yeah.
So I'm heading home, and and there had been to meetings a day or so before about the scooters and how they're not legal in Cambridge, and the Ant bikes and the Lime bikes, they're not yet legal, they're not permitted, whatever, right? You know, but these companies basically just drop them in and then say, go ahead, what are you going to do?
Well,
about
the scooters are different. The Ant bikes and the Lime bikes are coming from towns that do not have the blue bikes. So
maybe.
Oh,
maybe, but I don't think so.
Really?
Well, I think they actually dropped a few of them on the MIT campus. They dropped a few. Because when you see bunches of them together, that's not because
they just arrived.
See, I've
never seen bunches. I've just seen one where,
this
guy came from Arlington.
Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them.
And, well, that's
and
tricky.
So one thing I thought was like a nice little FU to the Community Development Department. So they're saying like, well, it's not legal. You know, we have an exclusivity with the Hubway, which is now Blue Bikes and whatever. So they dropped two of them right there in the park, right next to CDD. Boom! There you go. And I thought, well, is that a statement or is that a statement, right? So I picked them up and moved them at least outside the park because they don't belong in the park. But I thought, well, okay, these guys are pretty aggressive. So I mean, ultimately, I think it's not a bad thing.
No, because if you live in Arlington or you live in Belmont or you live in Watertown, you do not have the Hubway.
Right.
Excuse me, Blue Bikes, which is now Motivate, which I think has got something to do with Uber. I don't know. I can't keep track of
it. And fundamentally, I think, as long as you're not a fool.
I've seen them parked actually the bikes.
For the most part, though I didn't like the fact that they were basically turning park into parking lot.
No, that I had never seen, that would not be good.
But the thing is cycling, just the physics of it all, you get a wheel that's kind of good size.
Yeah.
If there are things like breaks in the road, imperfections in roadways, you can ride safely on bicycles unless you have a big gouge or a pothole or whatever that could throw you off a bike.
Yeah.
Scooters, on the other hand, have wheels that are about that big.
Plus, they can go, 15 miles, which is not slow. Right. I mean, most bicyclists don't go 15 miles per hour,
right,
do they?
Now, the state law actually That's says they have to have things like signals.
And it's motorized. And bicycles aren't motorized.
Right.
Although they have those too.
But the physics of it is that if you're scooting along on a little scooter and you have your tiny little bitty wheels and you hit a pothole or you're riding at night because you feel like you can do whatever you want and you don't see it, You can really, really get badly hurt.
Well, has anyone... There actually, that came up in this meeting, and I forget the details, but people have been hurt.
Yes, yeah. So the thing is at least with bicycles, the fact that the wheels are sufficiently large, you can kind of average out the shock.
Well, the most important thing is it's not motorized, most bikes.
Right, so you have
so
the
it
control.
So is the driver is making it go.
Yeah.
This one, you can...
Yeah.
Do they have lights? Are they required to have lights? Because they don't have brake lights or something. There's something they don't have
to
have.
The way it's been explained to me is that even if you believe that the scooters were a wonderful, wonderful thing, state law, unless it's changed, does require, because it's a motorized vehicle, it's supposed to have things like turn signals and brake lights.
Right, and it doesn't have
it
that.
Doesn't
but
have
they're working
that.
On it, supposedly. There was a representative from Bird and I guess from... Lime, maybe?
Well, they can either work on that or they can try and lobby to change
the
law.
Yeah, Bird and Lime
were
there.
But so that's why it's technically illegal. There was no exclusivity contract with scooters. There was for the bikes, so that was their issue. Why, if we have a city contract giving pretty much an exclusive right to Hubway/Blue Bikes, and then your aunt and Lime, you start dropping your machines down on us.
But I think
that's a separate
somebody
issue.
Brought up, I don't know if it was Craig Kelly or somebody brought up, what about you can buy an electric scooter?
That's right.
So then who governs that?
If you buy an electric scooter, you're still required to have the turn signals or whatever.
Okay.
So you would be operating if you're doing it on a public roadway.
Yeah.
You would not be in compliance
with
state law.
So is there any state law about something being motorized and requiring a license?
There are differences. And in fact, even with motorcycles versus scooters like Vespas, whatever, there's a certain number, size of the engine beyond which you have certain requirements, like you have to get a license plate.
Okay.
And below which you don't. There's always been an issue about who can use a bike lane. Well, truth is, if you're driving a little motorbike, like a Vespa, it's totally legal to use bike lanes.
Really?
Yes.
So it seems to me that the legislation's going to have to change a little to accommodate these new kinds of motorized vehicles,
but
right?
But aren't we the bluest of blue states, the most progressive point in the universe? Isn't the state legislature ahead of every curve?
Yeah,
aren't they way ahead of everything?
Did you see that article today?
I'm sure they must have passed all these changes last week.
Kept bashing Baker and blaming him for everything, and they said, wait, have we had a Democratic legislature for the last 8 years?
Political rhetoric is pure entertainment, It's... it's like, well, Charlie Baker now owns the tea. It's anything that's wrong with it is due to Charlie Baker.
Right, but
and
nothing to do with Duval.
Right,
and
never mind the fact that just deferred maintenance has been the rule for decades.
Yeah.
Right, it's like it's all Charlie, right? So, anyway, I don't believe a word of political rhetoric, and I do, but I do find it kind of entertaining how people try and. Take credit, give blame,
You got to just delve into it a little more and not just take these sound bites and stuff,
What? Education? What a concept.
Oh,
there you go.
God.
There
All right,
go.
So...
All right, so actually, one thing we talked about last week, I should just, let's just get this out of the way quick.
Uh-oh, what?
All right, so we talked a little bit about the elections. Let's not go all over there, but the 3rd Congressional District...
Oh, right, yes.
Right, which
got decided yesterday.
Was decided, the results of the
recount
were in, okay? So the original had... Lori Trehan, this is up in Lowell.
Right. 89,000 total votes cast, and she got 18,000 something.
Exactly. So the thing is the margin between these two candidates was only 122 votes. After the recount, it went up to 145. Yeah.
Right. And his went up 27.
And Danko conceded, and so it's all done, and Lori Trehan will be the congresswoman for there.
Yay.
But the interesting thing, and we talked about it last week, was this sort of the fundamental flaw in the system. And again, no criticism of the candidate who won.
No.
Wonderful candidate. But the idea that a person should be winning an election with about 20-21% of the votes...
Right.
When almost 80% of the votes were for somebody else is something that I think people should think about.
Yes, not good.
Not good. And and it's not the first time this sort of thing has happened. But you know, there are really two fundamental flaws in this one. One is the fact that you don't have ranked choice ballots that enable you to actually get something more close to a majoritarian type of winner.
Right.
Right. Somebody who's
your vote counts because you can rate your choices.
Right.
Rank your choices.
Right. But so the thing is, votes would eventually pool, and at least in the very final round, you would have one candidate who has the majority of all continuing ballots. Would be the winner, and it would probably be at least 40%, and hopefully maybe even a majority at that point, an actual majority.
But
at
it
that
would
point.
Require them getting different software, different way of elections.
Right. So the thing is, yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you want to, you can. I mean, as we know in Cambridge, most of the voting hardware, the machine ballot machines, are perfectly capable of recording whole ballot images. And by images, I don't mean pictures. I mean just all the voter data.
Exactly. So you see the first.
So you could record all the rankings, and then it's a very simple software solution to actually do the transfers to come up with a majoritarian winner. And
so you said New York Times had an article when? Today
so
or yesterday?
Yesterday. Okay. So New York Times had an article. It says, fans of ranked voting see an opportunity in Massachusetts. And this is kind of how it works, honestly.
Yeah, you take something like that gets...
Yeah, I mean, alternate voting systems, a lot of people didn't think about for years and years and years. And then we had this sort of fiasco in Florida in the year 2000. And suddenly everybody became interested in flawed voting systems.
Yeah. Butterfly
and that led
ballots.
To the Help America Vote Act, which was kind of a Republican light version of what should have happened.
Yeah.
But it certainly, that's what reignited the whole discussion about things like transferable ballots and ranked choice voting. We talked about that 25 years ago, but honestly... The fiasco in Florida helped us along.
Yeah.
And the thing is that every time you have a kind of a controversial election, you know, where the issue is not the candidate so much as it is the system
the
that elects them.
Yeah.
It actually helps those of us who are trying to promote the consideration.
Which is what happened in Maine with Governor, what's his name, LePage.
Yeah. So
he was voted in at 38%, even though there were several candidates, right?
Yeah. Actually, one of the examples that people pointed out for years and years and years as sort of a textbook example of why you should have ranked ballots is in New York City, where I grew up, we had a Senate candidate, a Senate election, where there was a member of the Conservative Party, James Buckley, who was William F. Buckley's brother.
Oh, I remember that.
We had, I think it was Mark, was it, I'm trying to actually forget.
What year was this?
It was in the 1960s, late 60s, or it could have been early 70s. But the thing is, it was one where it was almost an even three-way split, and I believe William Buckley's brother, James Buckley, who was absolutely not favored by maybe 60% of the voters, would not have wanted him to be elected under any circumstance. He won the election.
The election or a primary?
That was election.
That was
a Democrat. It was a... Conservative Party, a Democrat, and a Republican.
Was this state Senate or federal?
This was...
I don't remember a Senator
This
Buckley,
was the United States Senate. Yes.
So he served?
He was the United States Senator.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Well, I was
it may
older
have even
than
been
you,
the,
but...
It may very well have even been the seat vacated by Robert F. Kennedy, but I don't know for sure. Right? But,
he died in
68. So, but this might have, this may have been 1970. So it may have been the next one. Maybe to succeed Jacob Javits. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But the thing is that there are these textbook examples of where the candidate who, by at least some form of logic, should not be the one to be elected is exactly the one who is elected.
Huh.
And these kind of perversions are sort of good in a way because. I don't know how else you explain to people that there's a problem, except to show them like that.
But what I'm not understanding is, you said this was the general election. There were three candidates. So how did
he not? In New York.
How was he not favored if somehow he got more than the other two?
He did get more than the other two, but it was sort of like 38 to 36 to 32.
Well, it sounds to me like people didn't like any of them, maybe. I don't know. But I understand. That's a good point. But
the Democrat...
It probably would have been a Republican that would have gotten in, no?
Yeah, I remember once where there was in New York City, was kind of... New York State, actually, they have fusion. So you can be nominated by multiple parties and
That's
be on
good.
Both tickets.
I like that.
So you could have a Republican who's also a liberal, like John Lindsay was mayor of New York.
Okay.
He was both. You know, so you have these very bizarre things that can happen. But
yeah.
But anyway, the point is that
so that is that there's
the
a reason to have it.
CD
yeah.
here in Massachusetts is now at least. I think it's the best news for the fair. What is
fair
what's
vote.
The group?
Fair vote.
Fair. Yeah. No, it's a. Voter Choice Massachusetts.
Well, that's the Voter Choice Massachusetts, yeah. And then Fair Vote's the national
The national, right. But the thing is that now you can point to something which is,
sure.
you know,
here's
really
an example.
Obvious then.
Although,
then,
you know, thankfully a good person got it.
Well, and, listen, but, even the last really weird one we got, yeah. Mike Capuano one, this was 20 years ago, and that was like a
oh,
8
that
or 10
multiple,
yeah,
right.
And he squeaked in with about 20% too.
That's a good
so,
point.
You know,
right.
Sometimes what happens is this very weird phenomena where
yeah.
in the last, at the 11th hour, figuratively speaking, mm-hmm. what happens is voters go, uh-oh,
yeah.
and
oh,
they
I'd
start
have to decide.
They
yeah.
start bailing out from candidates who they know are not going to win because they don't want to be voting for the spoiler. So they start to glom onto a candidate who may be better.
But in this case, they would be able to do, okay, I really like this person the best, but this one isn't bad.
That's
and then,
right.
And you don't have to vote the whole slate. You
right.
can just do maybe
allow the,
four.
Allow the system itself
right.
to make the change for you. So you don't have to sort of
I
do this
I think
guessing
it's a great
game.
Idea.
Yeah. So anyway, so the New York Times covered it, you know, so it's nice. I'm
good.
Kind of pleased.
And I mentioned WBUR in their local 3 o'clock show
yeah.
also had somebody from Fair
yeah.
Vote talking about it too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but that's pretty
yeah.
cool. Actually, one other thing I was going to ask you,
yeah.
you went to a, so this is a little bit of guesswork here, but. You went to a recycling advisory committee
right,
meeting.
Their monthly, their first
now,
monthly meeting.
And I think...
this came out today to every resident, right?
Yeah, so
yeah.
I got one yesterday. It was,
yeah.
it was like the Cambridge Life, which is like a periodical that they put around.
Put
but
out,
it,
yeah.
it has the article, Help Us Reduce Contamination...
Right. In our recycling,
you know,
by
sort of,
recycling.
It's, like
it's
the
a
recycling
state initiative, the recycling toolkit. And I think they're going to be sending out things to residents about reminding them what is
yeah.
know, shouldn't be recycled.
Right.
But also... Some of us have smartphones,
right.
so you can get the Zero Waste app, which is really that Zero Waste Cambridge.
Right.
Download it; it'll tell you everything that can be recycled.
Right. But if I
yeah.
may guess a little bit of the future here, you
yes.
know, we went through a period where all the rage was let's increase the volume of recyclables.
Which was how single stream recycling
right. single
came
stream,
about. One
right.
toter
more,
made
more,
it
more.
Easier.
Right. But the problem is that ultimately the end there have to be end markets for the goods.
Right, which there had been, but let's face it, we were sending them to China,
right.
India, Vietnam, but mostly China.
Yep.
In all those, back in those big, what do you call them? The
They bailed up the paper.
Yeah, but
or
what are,
sea boxes?
What, no, what are those big things that go across the ocean?
Containerized cargo.
Thank you, because with
also
all
call
the goods
them
that we buy, they're
right.
empty when on the way back, so we would just put all our stuff in.
That's
the way
it,
back.
That's right. So
and they
it
were
was
sorting
economical.
It, but China has become more
picky.
Responsible about yeah. pollution and more picky. They closed down a lot of these mom and pop operations that used to pick through this trash.
Yeah, dangerously sometimes.
And
yeah.
They are developing their own infrastructure, which we should have been doing
that's
here.
Right.
And we are going to be doing
yeah,
it, but
think,
it's going to take a few years.
Right.
Yeah.
Economics will, I think,
determine
ultimately,
it. But right now, it's a problem because this
it
stuff's
is a problem,
being
so.
Loading E.L. Harvey. He's been interviewed all over, you know, Ben Harvey. It's being incinerated, some of it. I think
yeah.
the state, you know, gave them a temporary disposal.
Right. So anyway, the I guess something to keep in mind is
yes.
that there are certain things that you shouldn't be recycling
anyway.
Like
styrofoam.
Clothes hangers, styrofoam.
Textiles, electronics. There are places
I mean,
for these. Just
there,
go
there
to.
There are other ways
yeah.
you can deal with them, right?
Plastic bags, number one.
Terrible, terrible thing.
But
to
take them
there.
To the drop-off. It is recyclable,
right.
but not in that bin.
But the thing is there are
yeah.
other materials which
right,
are
that we've
accepted,
been taking, that
but
we really,
which
right.
we may see restrictions on. So,
which are?
Which, for example,
yeah.
if you take
yeah.
things like containers that contain liquids, like...
Like milk and orange juice
right.
and,
so
and
plastic,
soups and all that stuff. It's
plastic-coated paper...
Right, which is a lot of
is,
our stuff.
...is really a mixed media. It's
right.
not paper. It's not plastic. It's mushed together,
and it's
right?
been tolerated, but... To
it's not great.
But it's not great.
So the
That's
city has not changed the
for.
Policy yet,
but, it's
but
going
it
to,
may
yeah.
happen. So don't be too shocked
right.
if down the road,
mm-hmm.
even things like milk cartons that are, you know, paper milk cartons.
Right. We used
or
to recycle them
packaging.
In the schools, and we're not doing it anymore. So
right.
the kids have to learn. They have
yeah.
to trash it. ASAP juice boxes. Please don't buy those. Boxes, really, give your kid a reusable something.
So anyway, so, you know, word to the wise, yeah. You know, look down the road a little bit and maybe even make some better choices in terms of the packaging that you purchase.
Also, I've heard, anyway, we won't get into the plastic part, but ones and twos and fives are good. So, but you shouldn't always go by the number, but
right.
You'll get something, but just be more wise about what you throw out and what you use.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so now it's reduce, reuse, recycle, but really recycle right.
Yeah, I think that's gone. But anyway, just go to the city's website, go to Zero Waste Cambridge. You can download the app on iTunes anywhere, and it's very helpful.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about city council maybe in the next half hour, but because they did come back this
They
this
did. Today. It was a long
but
meeting.
A few other things that I found interesting at last week's sort of flurry of meetings.
Yeah.
There was one in particular that had to do with retail strategy and vacant storefronts.
Right. It was the final report. I don't know if it's a final, but
And I think it might actually have been on the way home from doing the show here. I ran into my neighbor who actually runs a business in Harvard Square.
Yeah.
A small business, right? Uh-huh. And we're talking about these strategies for vacant storefronts. So what she told me was, well, you know, there's kind of an issue here, which is that if the city says we don't like vacant storefronts, and by the way, turns out there aren't as many vacant storefronts as you might think.
We actually have a lower, it's 3% versus around, it's 5, and in the country it's 9, but it's where they are.
It's where they
are.
It's
the perception, and because they're so visible.
That's right. But we don't really have many. Yeah. So, but what my neighbor told me was that, well, there was some concern that if, you know, if the city wanted to address temporary vacancies by inserting little what they call pop-ups within there, then, well, there's different types of pop-ups. If it's like a little art display or if it's
a nonprofit doing more informational, it's one thing. If it's selling goods, it could be in conflict.
So I actually went there and I spoke to this. And I actually made two principal points at this committee meeting, which I think were pretty well received.
Yeah.
One was just to point out, like, I'll give the story of my own block in mid-Cambridge, where, in fact, it was vacancy, vacancy, coffee shop, vacancy, it was like almost the entire stretch of, like, 6 or 7 storefronts.
Right near the
vacant.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, and so it's not Harvard Square, it's not Central Square. So there are places where you have a lot of vacancies. Mm-hmm. So guess what ends up being the sort of the best use and the best way to, you know, who can afford the rents and whatever? Rock and Roll Daycare and Montessori schools.
And Rock and Roll's not next to you. That's over down.
No, Rock and Roll Daycare is exactly next to me.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is, they have, it's almost like a franchise operation. Daycare is so expensive
I didn't think Rock and Roll was, but the Montessori was.
Rock and Roll Daycare now has 2 spaces on Prospect Street. They just opened a second one.
On Prospect? I just know the one on the corner. There's one on the corner
at Broadway and Prospect. There's another one that they just opened further down on Prospect. And then the one they opened up last fall, I think it was right next door to me on Broadway.
But how
and
do you know what it costs there? Did you actually
You can look
out?
It up on a website. So,
and
you know,
did you?
I have. I think it's, you know, it's up getting close to like 18, 19 grand a kid.
What?
For the year.
Ooh.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you actually look at the cost of providing daycare through almost every, it's,
do
that's kind of
They must
it
take
is.
Very young. They must take infants.
They take very young.
Because young,
yes.
it costs right. money.
So you can also get a lot of little ones in there too. So it's
Well,
a lot
no,
of money.
There's laws about that.
I know. Yeah. But the thing is, I love having all the kids all around. But it's become retail is basically being is hard to make work. But daycare facilities and Montessori schools, whatever, seems to be
something. Well, if it fills a need,
it does. It does. So, but I wanted to point when they were saying like, well, we don't seem to have that many vacancies. So, well, part of the reason is that daycare facilities and are replacing what used to be retail.
But what about banks? Cell phone stores now.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of a big issue in some of the
tattoo
big squares.
Parlors. Where did that?
I don't
do
know. I can't explain
rent?
It.
Right? I can't explain that one.
But the second point I made was about with my neighbor is that if you're running a place that is actually selling kind of novelty things and interesting stuff, and you know the reality about a lot of retail is that the holiday season is kind of when you make a lot of the money for the year to cover the rent. Mm. And then if the city was not to be wise, now I think they will be wise, but so I made the point that if you're going to allow somebody who's going to come in as a retail short-term thing, lower rent, whatever, because you're trying to fill vacancies, and then they end up basically just taking the business, you could end up causing another business to go out of business.
But on the other hand,
and have another vacancy.
But you know, I just thought of something. Some people say if you have one furniture store, but then you have two, then it's more likely people are going to go.
Actually,
both.
Clustering is a
clustering.
Good idea.
So it could be, and also around the holidays, there's a lot of pop-ups that we've had.
I know, but I think, and so I'm not saying no, but I
it's
am
just something
saying
to consider.
So you got to be really
it
careful.
It depends on how long term lease is.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But but anyway, sometimes with their zeal to be wonderful problem solvers, city councilors will sometimes rush through what they think is a good thing, only to get pushback or realize
something
was a mistake.
But that wasn't the only solution, though, right?
No, not at all.
It was more to have artwork above it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the thing is that it was. I just found that it was sort of an interesting meeting for that in that respect, right?
But did they decide that they did want some kind of report on where the vacancies are, or is that in there?
Yes,
no,
actually,
I think that's in there somewhere.
There's a city council order at last night's meeting, basically. I think it grew out of the committee meeting
that
basically
was
says
writing.
We want to. Yeah, but the thing is that everybody in the city hall kind of knows what's being asked.
Okay,
for.
So that is to be more specific about where they are, or
I think city staff already got the message at the committee that they let's get some quantification of the problem here.
Right. Okay.
You know, so I mean, I think I don't know that I would be comfortable in a future where retail just became online retail and everything else was experiential.
But I think they did quote other cities that actually charge the owner property owners depending on how long it's vacant.
And there may be some sense
in that,
but the proposal that the city council came up with a couple of years ago, which was basically charge them half of the value of the property, like,
oh no,
it
that
was ridiculous.
Work. No, so. I don't think they're talking about that.
Anyway, we just had about out for now, so we'll be back in a couple of minutes. So see you then.
All right.